Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Monday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody had a good weekend. Man, it was a hot weekend, and we got some much needed rain this morning. That was nice, actually. I mean, since I don't have to get up and go to work early in the morning, it was great to just listen to the rain and the thunder. We got nearly an inch at my house. Really needed that, but boy, it is warmed up, steamed the rain away, and yeah, we're in the mid to upper 90s right now, and going to be approaching the century mark tomorrow. That's just that's the way it is here in the summertime. So welcome in, everybody, on the Monday Drive. What you looking?
On air sign doesn't work, seemingly.
Oh, it did. Cut your mic on, Drew. Does it now?
It does now.
Yeah. See, it only works with his mic on. Yeah, Dan's here. He's wandering the halls for some reason. He'll be in here in a little bit. But yeah, welcome into the Monday edition of The Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com is on his way. He will be in and be able to give us some more details on Auburn picking up. We talked about the Alvin Henderson flip on Friday, but Auburn also added a signee, with an addition from the transfer portal, and we had said Auburn might be looking for another player in the secondary, and they do indeed add a player after news of an injury. I mean, now they probably still would have liked to have had the addition anyway, but Todder Scott, young defensive back who, remember, he had talked about going into the portal and then backed out. But I mean, a player that was expected to get a decent amount of playing time this coming year suffered a torn ACL over the weekend, and it was just a short time after that Auburn announced the signing of former Alabama and Colorado defensive back Jaquez Robinson, who will come in as a graduate transfer, good-sized corner/nickel, who is a grad transfer, but he has 2 years of eligibility. So Brian will talk more about those additions and much more when he joins us here in the studio in just a little while. In the meantime, it's Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls. Dan, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Fun weekend in Lexington, Kentucky, a beautiful city.
It really is.
I didn't think I was going to the Auburn game in October. After visiting the city, I could be persuaded.
And it is even more beautiful in the fall.
Do you plan on making that trip?
Yeah.
You said I'll tell you what, I recommend. I got a couple of we went to an event at Malone's, which apparently is a regionally famous steakhouse there in the city with a couple of locations. Everything I ate at Malone's was great. We visited, my dad and I, we visited the Arboretum on campus, which mm-hmm. is just, I mean, they have a big, couldn't guess the acreage, but they have a big expanse of, different, forests and wetlands and just like some really, really cool.
Yeah, I've never been there.
Natural, nature, like a big nature preserve
uh-huh.
on campus. There's also a memorial to... About 20 years ago, there was a plane crash in Lexington, Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
That killed virtually everyone on board, and there's a memorial to that plane crash in Lexington. So I would encourage people to check out. If you go Auburn's playing football and men's basketball up in Lexington in the next 9 months or so. And if you haven't been, the Arboretum on campus is really, really just a sight to see. And there's a couple of I think it was, I don't want to get the name wrong, Bill. There was a diner where I had just outstanding food on Sunday morning. There's a couple of locations of this one as well, but I'll share that information.
Okay,
later, but no, Lexington deal. and bigger than I realized too. We went downtown briefly and saw, you know, there's you know, the high rises and a lot of industry going on down there. But it's apparently one of the bigger cities with an SEC school. I think Baton Rouge, Knoxville, Lexington, now Austin joins the list as well. But like those are your cities with real, you know, significant metropolitan areas, and they host the SEC. But yeah, I'd never been to Lexington before, and I came back really impressed. It's a cool city, and might go back for football season.
Yeah, we're definitely planning on it. I know that's a place. I mean, I've been there a couple of times for football and basketball, but my wife hasn't, so she wanted to go, and it is beautiful.
It's a long drive. Atlanta to Chattanooga to Knoxville to Lexington. You know, over the course of, from Auburn, probably 7 to 8 hours, depending on, you know, how leisurely you want to approach it, and how bad Atlanta traffic is. You know, if you run into Braves post game traffic or not. You know, that can impact they were on the road, thankfully, this weekend. Still ran into some traffic on 285 both.
Yeah, you're liable to do that
to and fro. But it was a great trip. You know, got to see. How about this? I realized, In the strangest of coincidences, I realized that I'm related to a gentleman named, I want to get the name right here. I am related to a sportscaster named Andrew Sanders, who does the pregame and postgame on the radio for NC State. He does NC State's women's basketball, and he's one of the two guys.
How'd you find this out?
So the purpose of my trip to Lexington was...
Oh, that's right. It was part of a family get-together.
It's not a Peck family reunion. So my grandmother on my dad's side, who passed away back in 2019, she was Margaret Raymond Peck. She married my grandfather Earl Peck and became a Peck that way. But her family, the Raymonds,
here Peck, there Peck.
That's right. So she was one of seven Raymond siblings, and so the Raymond siblings always have a get together.
Okay.
And
all
so
right,
her children.
Right. So this Sanders is so, from so, the Raymonds.
Yes. Yeah, so his mother's sister, his mother's grandmother, his grandmother on his mother's side, his mother's mother, and my father's mother were siblings. So we're like somewhat distant cousins. So it's not someone that I knew
too much. That's not that distant.
It's not terribly.
I mean, that's third cousins. That's just two generations.
That's
down
right.
From
it's
siblings,
it's so. it's two generations. And we met when we were both younger. But I didn't realize that he's also a sportscaster in the family.
Oh,
he's doing some cool stuff there at NC State. So got to maybe we'll cross paths at some point.
Yeah, you never know.
An amazing coincidence.
So Dan, I mean, I didn't go anywhere this weekend. Headed
somewhere. You're going. We're
headed to the beach the end of this week. So I am just here today and tomorrow. This weekend. And Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com has made it in. B Matt, how was your weekend?
It was good. You know, didn't do anything spectacularly fun, but it was a good weekend.
I didn't do anything spectacularly fun. I finally got the lawnmower put together after a couple of words to it. It was hot.
It was hot
working on a lawnmower.
I fixed a drawer that had been broken and wasn't coming.
Oh, okay. We're getting handy, aren't we?
Yeah, we are, yeah.
So I told Kathy, I said, yep, I'm finally, you know, the handyman that can get things done. That's good. I mean, you know, just it was – after I got the lawnmower done, it was a pretty relaxing weekend. It was nice. I mean, Auburn getting some more good news. Well, Friday they flip Alvin Henderson from Ohio State, and then over the weekend after some not so good news about Todd or Scott,
right.
Auburn adds. We've been saying that Auburn might add another guy in the secondary, and they really needed to after the loss of Todd or Scott. It's funny, Auburn almost lost Todd or Scott to the portal, right? Mm-hmm. He and Colton Hood announced that they were going into the portal at the same time, And then Tyler comes back. He's hurt, so Auburn needed another defensive back, and they get Jaquez Robinson.
Yeah, Tyler suffered an ACL injury, and they did go out there and get a guy, Jaquez Robinson, who's played at Alabama, at Colorado.
Both places under Charles Kelly.
Yes, that, there's the connection there.
Cited Charles Kelly when he transferred from Bama to Colorado as one of the big reasons why.
6'2", 205-ish, listed as a safety, but I think he can definitely step in and play some nickel, too. He's pretty athletic when he's healthy. I think injuries have really kept him from becoming the player everybody thought he would become, but you know, you never know when that's going to turn around for him, and perhaps you know, at Auburn he can be healthy and really help out. I think he's going to have a chance to compete at safety and nickel and have a chance to participate and maybe even compete for a starting job. We'll see.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's one thing. Don't be surprised. I mean, if Auburn sees somebody that they feel can help them, I think they'll go after them. They still have some spots. I don't think they're critical places, but if they can get somebody who can help them depth-wise, I think they'll definitely pursue them.
Oh, I do too. They could still use another Willie linebacker type. They could probably use another cornerback in the secondary if one was available, and possibly even a running back too. Mm-hmm. You know, because of the Brian Petit situation. But we need to talk more about Alvin and Henderson, A-Train. That's a big time pickup. He's one of the best backs to come out of Alabama, I think, in quite a while. And I think Auburn's really stacking up in that room. I really think they've done a good job. I like. The running backs they have back this year, and I love what they've done with getting Alvin Henderson. I think they're going to take one more, make another really good one to go with him.
Oh, yeah, I think they want at least two running backs this year. Yeah, Alvin Henderson, it was a bit of a surprise when he committed to Penn State. I think Auburn felt like they were close to going ahead and getting him, but they never let up, kept going, you know, and he talked about it, about how he was always on the phone with Hugh Freeze and Derek Nix, and it wasn't always about football and on and on and on. And I mean, and the persistence and the Auburn just kept on. And, you know, I talked about it a little Friday, Brian. I mean, it's a situation where Penn State's a long way from Elba, long way from Elba. And, you know, as time goes by, you start thinking about, and Don Dunn was saying, anybody in the family starts realizing we're not gonna be able to see him in person every week like we could if he was just at Auburn.
And that's always been the one factor in recruiting that nobody talks about that ends up being one of the most important things, and that's how close a college is to that kid's home. Because when you look at signing classes and you draw a 100-mile area around your school, especially when you're in this area of the country, you're going to get most of your guys from that area. That's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And it's always been that way. That doesn't mean Auburn can't go to California and get a kid like DeAndre Carter or somewhere else.
Right.
But
when there are players within, let's say, you know, 3 or 4 hours drive, then that is something that should be a selling point. It's like, hey, you've got a chance to see them, as opposed to, you know, having to either fly or, you know, do overnight trips just to be able to get to watch them play.
Yeah, and he is a really good one. I don't care what level he plays at. He can do it all. He's got big play ability as a running back, a good guy who gets yards after contact, breaks tackles, has terrific speed and explosion. He's just going to be a really good college running back.
Yeah, and that is, 16 now commitments, I believe, for Auburn. I think that's right.
And they were, right after he committed, Auburn moved up to top five in the country. I think they're seventh now. I can look again.
Yeah, because there have been some other schools have been adding some players as well.
There was a big visit weekend. Seventh. And that was the 16th commitment. It's a big visit weekend across the country. Auburn didn't have any officials that I know of this weekend, but a bunch of schools did. So that's over now. The dead period, I believe, started today.
Today.
Mm-hmm. And we'll go for a month. There's still going to be recruiting news because I think several of Auburn targets are going to announce decisions between now during this dead period. But July 27th, Big Cat is going to be really, really big. We'll continue to update that, but that's going to be a huge recruiting weekend for Auburn.
It's funny. I guess they just wanted to do 30 days of the dead period because the contact period, the dead period, goes from June 24th to July 24th, which is a Wednesday. But then players will be able to start on that Thursday, the 25th, and as you mentioned, the 27th,
yep.
That Saturday's Big yep. Cat.
And that gives other schools chances to get players on campus too, right? You know, mm-hmm. The big schools will have their thing Saturday. Auburn won't be the only one, obviously.
Oh, no.
But, you know, if you're
– it's going to be hard for – right now, at least just looking at the projected lineup for Big Cat, it's going to be hard for a lot of schools to have a much bigger weekend than Auburn does with Big Cat.
I agree. And it was the original, right? It sort of started this whole mm-hmm. trend of this late summer get-togethers from recruiting and making the big event, and it's continued despite some coaches maybe not putting a lot of effort into it. It's come back with a roar, so to speak, under Hugh Freeze, and I think this has potential to be one of the biggest and best and most important in the I guess since it started back in 2009.
Man, it will be a little calmer, but again, that doesn't mean there won't be news here over the next month from recruiting. All right, we're just getting underway here on the Monday edition of The Drive. We'd love for you to join in, and you can call us on The Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
Bill, Dan, and Brian, Drew at the controls, come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
The results are in, and game day men's
106.7 online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, and Drew at the controls. I'd love for you to join in. Anything you're, anything that's on your mind here on this Monday. College World Series will be decided tonight.
What a night in between the Game 7, where you have a team coming back from down 0-3 to maybe and Edmonton
in the
also
playoffs. Yeah.
And also Edmonton looking to maybe edge out, like, good, it's a long time since a Canadian team won
it
the
has
Cup.
Been. As well.
I think it's been since the 90s.
I haven't watched 1 minute of hockey.
Understandable. So. I haven't been following the series too drastically either, although I think tonight's game,
Might be worth watching. Yeah, I mean, when you see a team that has come back from down 3-3 yeah. nothing.
And that concludes my NHL coverage.
Yeah.
And then tonight the biggest game of the season in college baseball.
Yeah. I mean, Tennessee and Texas A&M. A&M wins the first game. Was it 9-5 on Saturday, and then they jump out front yesterday and looked like they were in control, but the game close enough, Tennessee able to come back and squeak out a win. So tonight, the deciding game, and no matter who wins, it'll be the fifth straight different SEC champion.
That's wild.
In the College World Series.
That's wild. What a conference. What a dominating performance.
Unbelievable. So that's going on tonight as well. Tennessee.
Yeah. Now A&M... I don't know. I mean, I should have checked this before. I don't know how many national championships A&M has as an SEC school in the last 12, 13 years. I want to say one of their golf programs,
I
believe.
I was going to say some of the non-revenue.
And maybe a track and field program. But
I was thinking maybe track and
field. But I would think if you isolate football, men's basketball, women's basketball, baseball, and softball.
No.
I think a win tonight would represent A&M's first win in one of those five sports as an SEC institution. So it would be a pretty prominent moment for
men's golf in 2009, men's indoor track 2017 and 2009 okay. and 2000. No, that's
well, they weren't an SEC track. Team yet in 2009.
When did
12? I believe was the first year.
Okay,
yeah.
So
yeah, I was thinking track.
So men's indoor track 2017. Equestrian in 2017.
Equestrian does have a couple of championships, yeah, or at least one. Yeah.
And that is it.
Interesting. So
I'm sorry. Women's tennis 2024. They beat Georgia.
Okay, so they won women's tennis this year, and not to slight any of the non-revenue sports, Bill, as you said, but I would say if you isolate the big four, the big five, whatever you want to, whatever you say would be the biggest championships to win in college athletics. A&M looking for their first one, your first trophy that sized as an SEC school, and they are one game away tonight from joining the list of how many different championships? How many
five,
different?
This would be five straight. Five straight different SEC champions. Five SEC straight, teams
five
have
straight,
been national champions.
Five straight years the College World Series has been won by an SEC
so
team.
That,
and it's
so
five
that tells
teams.
You this that this is, I mean, there are at least six SEC teams. And haven't we had, another all-SEC championship, didn't we, in the last few years?
The Mississippi schools, didn't they? Or wasn't it? Or
I mean, because this means at least six different SEC schools have made it to the championship series of the baseball tournament.
I want to say one of the Mississippi schools
lost
beat Vanderbilt, or because I want to say Vanderbilt lost to an SEC school in an all-SEC final. In the last couple of years,
that's maybe. The Mississippi State beat, wasn't it?
I think you're right.
I say that's right. So, and maybe Vanderbilt's already on that list.
I don't think in the last 5 years.
Oh, maybe not.
So, I mean, that could be seven SEC schools in the last five different SEC schools in the last 5 years that have made the championship playoffs.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yep.
That is unbelievable.
And now you're just having,
I mean, it's not just 20, it's 20, not 20, just one or two schools.
Vanderbilt, the 2019 champion, the 2021 runner up.
Okay.
And so remember in 20 there wasn't a College World Series because of COVID-19, the season canceled in the first couple of weeks of the season.
So it's only six.
Still six different
SEC schools.
Still remember sitting at Plains and Park that day and getting the news that everything was shutting down.
Oh yeah,
I was driving to meet the team bus to New Orleans for the Sun Belt Women's Basketball Tournament. I got the call from campus
and I had the games all on TV.
Yeah,
you know, the basketball tournament, and they played the early game, and then bam,
there was a game that stopped at halftime. I remember they didn't come back out. They didn't come back out for the second half. At like the Pac-12 tournament, the Big East tournament, like one of those.
Wild.
Oh boy.
Yep. All right. We're approaching the bottom of the hour. Again, love to hear from you. Anything on your mind, sports-wise? It's sort of it's summertime. It is,
three 3 weeks from today, we will be beginning our 4 days of wall-to-wall SEC Media Days coverage. That's coming up in the sooner than you think. The Monday
15th or whatever.
Monday, July 15th, 3 weeks from today, is the Monday to begin SEC Media
Days.
It's
hard to believe.
In Dallas.
A week from today is July.
A week from today is July. and we'll be, football season. I mean, again, cover your ears if you're enjoying your summer vacation. If you're having a summer vacation, if you're on break before, we're about a month away from early rush. Getting started on campus where you can notice.
Yeah, you're
more
like
students.
5 weeks away from move-in. Everybody being able to move in. It'll be the 1st of August.
Yes, and so it's a we're coming up on a busy time, and we're gonna have extensive coverage at SEC Media Days. Really looking forward to everything we're gonna be able to do here at Auburn Network. All 7 hours with Doug, with On the Line, and with us, covering a really exciting time with Texas and Oklahoma joining the league and the expansion of the playoff. Like this can be a really cool season.
Oh, you're not kidding. And yeah, looking forward to that. Hopefully looking forward to the summer feeling like it lasts a little bit longer because it's just officially gotten here. I can't wait for football, but then enjoy the a little more relaxing time.
Oh, for sure. I mean, this is, and for folks who get to enjoy June and July as a relaxing time, whether it's people who work in the education industry,
hey, people who work in the sports.
sports media.
We've talked. I asked Brian last week. You guys still don't have any specific plans or anything for the summer.
No.
A lot of folks are just ready to go ahead and get away from it for a little while now. This is the opportunity coaches have. Not that they will leave, the post completely empty. I mean, somebody's going to be around. There'll be people there, but this is the opportunity now for coaches and their families to have a little bit of time.
It is. And, they'll spread it out a little bit. Different coaches gone at different times. Mm-hmm. I know Coach Freeze has already been down. I think he's been out of the country for a little bit. I don't know where he is at the moment. I don't want to give anything away necessarily,
right.
But yeah, it's just a great time because because of the calendar now, because it's so busy, you know, starting in August all the way up through just recently, the end of these official visits is almost nonstop from August 1st through the end of June. And they need this break badly. And the NCAA needs to continue to work on the calendar and do a better job of giving them more time off during the holiday period, because it's especially busy in December with recruiting and with transfer portal. So this is an important time for them.
No question about it. All right, we're approaching the bottom of the hour break. Dan talked about his trip to Lexington this past week, and I know we've done this one before. What was the one we were going to do last week, and all of a sudden the phones wouldn't work?
Was it Father's Day?
Yeah, it was. Okay, so I mean, we'll have to wait till another time. We'll wait till next year.
Have you spent much time in Lexington, Kentucky? Have you made that trip before?
I've been to a football game there years ago. Have not gone to a basketball game there in Rupp. So not a whole lot.
I was saying earlier in the show, State Botanical Garden is gorgeous. They got a tribute to a plane crash from about 20 years ago, and a really nice memorial, among other things, to see in a really big. So it's the Arboretum and the State Botanical Garden.
When I went with football, I was in the athletic department, so it's not like I got an opportunity to tour the city a whole lot and see. So it's going to be a little better this fall when we head up.
And Ramsey's was the diner that I couldn't think of. There's a it started with just one location.
Not Ramsey's, right? But Ramsey.
Not Ramsey's from Egypt, and not okay. and not Ramsey Hall on campus.
Okay, well, yeah, I was saying it's probably with a Y. Right?
It is, yeah, yes. Okay. And Ramsey's Diner. There are a couple locations there in Lexington. I had
that would be a cool thing.
Ramsey's?
An Egyptian diner.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, a pyramid? Pyramid,
that's right.
Pyramid Diner?
That's in Memphis.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's in Long Beach.
Yeah.
In Memphis and Long Beach, California.
All right, we will get to our bottom of the hour break, but I thought, you know, just for a little bit of fun, if you want to chime in with some of your favorite summer road trips, because I think everybody probably has made one or two memorable ones for whatever reason. So if you've got a favorite summer road trip, we'd love to hear from you. Anything on your mind, though, as we continue here on the Monday Drive.
At ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. 25 minutes away from 5 o'clock. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com.
The AuburnSports.com people do an amazing job. Brian, I want to give you a chance to shout out the rest of the band and tell us about the musings.
We got J.G. Tate, the Commodore, Brian Stoltze, Caleb Jones on the recruiting, Henry helping
keyboards.
Us out. Yeah. So we got a pretty good group
that.
Going. Pretty good 80s band. Yeah.
And then what would you talk about today?
Yeah, go ahead.
Talked about the recruiting, of course, and the great job they did. And then I featured Beyonce in the musical portion, which is sponsored by Uncle Keith's Red Sauce. And we're now having a special. You can get 15% off an online order using the code BMAT15. Very easy to remember.
Delicious Southern style salsa from the folks at Uncle Keith's,
who
also sponsor this program, and we're happy to have their patronage.
Hit me with that again. All right.
15% off online order with the discount code BMAT15.
Okay. All right, well, that's
so
great.
Use BMAT15. You type that in as a promo code, and you can get that. Is that off the website?
Online order, yes.
Very cool.
I don't think they'll take that at Kroger's or Publix.
Well, that's what I was trying to figure. I was going to stop by and go, hey, BMAT15.
50% off.
online, a key part of that component.
Well, that's good. That's good to know, because I just got a I just had an offer from one of my credit cards about extra cash back if I ordered groceries online. So
there you go.
I can just stock up. I just go. I'll order all of the Uncle Keith's. And no, I won't do that. I'll leave enough for some other folks. But yeah, that's cool.
So who wants to go first with the road trips? Because I know
you said you've got what did you say? A fun and a not so fun?
I've got one that's like a I've got one that's a happier memory than the other. I'd say. I mean, there's, and I guess specifically with summer road trips, because I've gone on some long
summer
road trips.
That's what we're talking about.
You know, I made some long, and I made that, you know, the trip a couple years ago, you know, across the country with my brother, which was a lot of fun going, taking his car with him back to the academy. But no, who's got one loaded up they want to go? Am I first?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So I took a buddy the summer before my senior year of high school. We took a friend of mine was a senior. We were both about to be seniors, and he had a girlfriend who was a student at UCF at the time, and he decided that a good idea would be to go and surprise her for her birthday. And I was interested in visiting the UCF campus. I had some friends who were there as well. I wasn't super close with this guy, but I was like, oh, you know, it's an excuse to go. I wasn't doing anything that weekend.
So did he just ask if anybody wanted to go?
No, he'd mentioned that he'd wanted to do this, and I'd said, you know, if you're willing to go halvesies on gas, you know, I'll do some of the driving, like whatever, you know, we'll figure it out. But I thought it'd be a good reason to go visit the UCF campus and see some people. And so shortly after arrival, there's, you know, no incidents on the way down. It's Niceville to Orlando is a pretty, you know, it's not a script. Yeah. It's a lot of highway miles. And we get there, and I'm planning on staying the weekend. You know, I've made my own sort of separate arrangements from him. I figure him and his girlfriend, you know, have their own stuff to discuss. And about 90 minutes after we part ways, I hear from him, and he's ready to go home. He's ready to go. He's ready to
Things didn't go so well.
He's ready to go. He's ready to go back to. He's ready to go back to Niceville. And yeah, I guess he found out, you know, that their relationship wasn't as serious as he thought it was. As you know, and I don't know what he stumbled.
Did he surprise her?
I think he did. Oh, yeah, I think she surprised him. I think she surprised him.
He showed up unannounced.
He showed up unannounced.
There we go. And there was a surprise.
Yeah. And there were, you know, surprises galore, it sounds like. So he was ready to go home. And I didn't want to, as much fun as I planned on having that weekend, I felt bad enough for this guy that I was like, you know what? And I think it was also his birthday. It was her birthday weekend. I think his birthday was coming up. And I was like, you know, I felt bad enough that I was like, you know what? Let's cancel our plans and let's turn around.
Oh, that was nice
of
you. I'm glad he at least called.
He did. Yes.
I mean, you know, I can see the guy goes, it's like things don't work out, and he just gets in the car and drives, and about halfway back he realizes, oh,
no,
there was Dan.
No, I think
I thought that was going to be the punchline.
It was my car.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, no.
So he needed a ride.
We'd committed to, you know, sort of being like, he'd paid for much of the gas.
Yeah, he wasn't going back then without you.
Yes,
your car.
But he was ready to go, and I didn't want to make him find his own way for a couple of days. So
when you're at the beach, there's opportunity for, you know.
Yeah.
Rebound? Really?
What a perfect place.
He could have taken it on the chin and just said, I'm going to have fun this weekend. Yeah. I don't think.
He didn't want to be there, I think he wanted to be away from that particular beach.
Yes. Yeah.
There are other beaches in Florida.
I guess if the story needs a punchline, it would be he got a speeding ticket on the way home. Like that would be, you know, that would be your punchline in that situation was that, you know, in his volunteering some of the driving. He sure enough got himself a speeding ticket, you know, on the interstate. So
that's a rough weekend.
Yeah.
All right. I will do it. It wasn't a terribly long road trip. It was one of those. I've got one that was that just reminded me when you were telling me that. It reminded me of a story years ago. And this was actually just a. Let's go hit the clubs in Columbus. But my car, I don't remember what was the matter with it. It was in the shop with something. I convinced one of my friends to let me borrow his car, and he had, God, what was it? A Pinto? I think it was a Pinto. You remember those, Brian?
Oh, yes.
Oh, God.
We had one when I was really little.
Oh, yeah?
A brown one. It was really ugly.
This was a white one.
Oh.
But it was brand new. It was pretty much
They're
brand new.
They're dangerous, too, if people don't remember
it was,
that part of it.
It was pretty much brand new. But anyway, we went over to Columbus, hit a few of the hit a few of the clubs, the bars and the clubs mm-hmm. in Columbus.
Yep, I got you.
And then and came back. Now, the fellow whose car it was, he didn't go. I don't remember why he didn't go. Maybe he had to study or something. It was summertime. He shouldn't have been studying. But on the way back, we came up and we're coming up exit 62, you know, coming up 280 from Columbus, going to get back on the interstate mm-hmm. and head back to Auburn. I'm coming down the ramp, and as I come down as I get off to come down the ramp, there is a truck that is parked, and instead of on the right side on the shoulder, it's parked like right there in the in the main lane, the entry back onto the interstate. All right, and it, of course it had just started like raining, so I hit the brakes, we skid a little bit, and I go to the right, and it's like fine, we're gonna be fine, except the guy in the passenger side said, you're going to hit those reflectors. And he didn't get that out of his
boy.
And it's like there was like a line of reflectors down the ramp. And it was like all the way down. The car ran fine, but I got stopped before we got on the interstate. And I got it. And it looked like a team of a baseball team had taken their aluminum bats to the side of his brand new car.
Wow.
And so we drove back to his place and I parked it facing away where he couldn't see. No, I wouldn't have told him. I just didn't want him to look out the window and see it. And I tried to explain to him, and I ended up covering the costs for the car. I mean, because I was driving, it was my fault, but that was the last time that I remember asking or anyone letting me borrow their vehicle.
Noticeable damage with the reflectors, a little bit.
Oh yeah, they were all like, you know, leaning toward the outside of the road. After that, made a few. I mean, had some more fun summer road trips. But the one you mentioned there when you were talking, when we found out it was your car, that just reminded me of that. Brian, any memorable summer road trips
that you can relate? I live such a boring life. Maybe back in college.
That's what I'm talking about.
But they're not. I don't know if they're
radio friendly. Right? Radio friendly.
Right. I'll work on it. I'll work on.
Did right. you ever wait? You know, something else that we were talking about recently. I mean, this might not have been on this show, but did you ever wait in line for concert tickets, Brian Matthews? Was that something you were ever like a part or an album release? Like, do you remember waiting in line outside of like?
Oh,
because that's something I don't think people.
I think you do it all online.
Yeah, definitely concert tickets. Did that several times.
That's gone the way of payphones now, and I think that's like a cool thing to say, like a badge of honor to say. Like, do you remember who you waited for? Do you remember what you waited to see?
Oh, I definitely waited for Van Halen, Motley Crue back in the day.
There you go. Hagar or Roth?
That was David Lee Roth. That was 1984. Yeah.
The album. Like,
yes,
I heard.
And the tour.
Yeah,
yes.
I heard Dreams on the. You know, it was one of the eighties stations. Maybe this weekend, Bill. You were talking about the different options available. All the Hagar stuff is so shiny, and you know what I mean. Like it's.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just Sammy himself is fine with.
Yeah, he's got a great voice. It's not my favorite.
I'll tie this one back into sports. One of our favorite production guys, the remarkable Al Mason, did Jim Fife and me a big favor, because Brian when David Palmer was suspended for a little bit for. It seemed like he was driving about 100 in a 35 zone.
I remember he had some issues.
Right when Sammy had, I can't drive 55. I mean, and it was great. Al put together a little I can't drive 55 that we used as a bumper for the entire show.
Oh, yeah.
Jim and perfect. I. Mean, that was perfect.
Oh, yeah. The good old days, man.
Oh, yeah. So if you've got a memorable summer road trip, we'd love to hear from you. Anything you want to talk about, we can talk some sports as well as we continue here. We'll get to our final break of hour number one here on the Monday Drive.
Take your brand to the next.
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. And we'd love for you to join in. Anything on your mind sports-wise? We talked a little earlier. I mean, Auburn with an addition from the transfer portal and getting a big flip as far as football recruiting. It's, you know, it's summer workout time. I mean, last week we did see that the rosters have been updated players' heights and weights and some significant gains. Auburn's, I mean, it appears that just about on the average, everybody's up about 5 to 7 pounds.
Yeah, they are.
Some guys up a good bit more.
Yeah, a lot of those young defensive linemen have put on a lot of weight already. I'm trying to think, was it who had the most? Somebody had up.
Well, there was the offensive lineman for Seth Wilford, right?
Seth Wilford had
20 to 25 pounds. I think since the last update we had on him.
Which Jason Jones, 15 pounds. I'll run through some of the big ones. Austin Keys put on 15 pounds up to 247.
Champ Anthony was another one, right?
Yeah, I like seeing the guys in the secondary. Nobody is still like in the 150s, 160s in the secondary.
Champ Anthony, I believe, went from the 160s to the
180s.
Morris Williams, 16 pounds up to 269. TJ Lindsey, another freshman defensive lineman, up 19 pounds up to 294. That's a big old D-tackle
right
there.
Yeah, it is.
Robert Lewis, the receiver, is a senior. You don't expect receivers to put on a lot of weight, but he's up 10 pounds, 188 pounds.
And, you know, when we saw him, he didn't look like he was 170-something pounder. I think they just maybe that's what he said he weighed when he came in because he looked solid. He looked almost like a running back out there playing receiver.
He did.
You would think, though, first year in the strength and conditioning program for some of the group of five and junior college players, you know, you're seeing – didn't Bobby Jamison Travis – what was the impact there? Did he lose weight?
Yeah, he's down. I think 7 pounds.
Yeah, and there was hope that he's, you know, that's somebody who can contribute in his second year after being a
maybe.
He was a junior college player playing catch up all season last year who didn't actually get on the field. I think that Auburn wants a big rotation of defensive linemen.
They do.
How big is that rotation? 6, 8? You know, I don't know.
They brought in the four transfers.
Yes, they brought in four guys that look like they're going to be.
Jason Jones back. So who would be that sixth guy? We'll see.
Yeah, could be one of the two guys from
Gage
last year.
Keys is a guy that seems to keep popping up when, you know, folks are talking about having good off seasons.
Yep. Could be Jamison Travis or DJ Reed, two guys we heard about throughout last season. It could be Malik, right? I mean that's
Blockton.
Blockton's a promising addition to the team. So yeah, that you know, you cannot. We were talking about it with Don Dunn recently. Like you can't be shorthanded there. Like that's a position where if you feel, I mean, if you're stretching your players with just, you know, three. I mean, at the end of the Harsin era, you know, that's that 2022 season, you know, Auburn had three or four defensive linemen that were playing, you know, Derek Hall and Colby Wooden and Marcus were playing so much because they didn't feel
too much.
Yeah, entirely too much. And they'd fade in the second half. And it was, you know, it's a sign that you don't have the depth. And Auburn, hopefully, at a couple of positions, and while, you know, while I'm sure they'd like to upgrade and, you know, they'd like to keep progressing the overall talent level, you know, at every single room on the team, I think they've done a really good job addressing a lack of depth as a problem because it seems like they have multiple guys that, in a pinch, can get out there and play.
I do. I think they need more impact players, but those players are coming. Those players are coming through high school. Kedrick Falk is one of them. They got three really good young defensive linemen in this last class, and they're going to get some more in this upcoming class.
Seem really excited about the edge class that they brought in this year, you know, right? Two or three freshmen.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Javonte Waller and Joe Phillips have moved to the edge, and then
Kieron Crawford was a huge pickup. Take some of that pressure off of Jalen McLeod, who's put on about 10 pounds too, which is going to help him stay out there a little bit longer and go head-to-head against those big old left tackles.
Yeah, so, I mean, I thought – that was a good sign when you saw that that there's decent amount of weight that has been put on by the players from the spring to right now, and that's one of the things we were talking about with Don is about how important this time of the year is. I mean, the workouts and then the captain's workouts that will be going on. I mean, this is what's really going to help build, forge this team for this fall.
It is. It's important to establish real leadership, real chemistry during the summer. Those are things that players and coaches talk about all the time. We talk about it too, but you never really know if a team has it until you get, I think, into October, November. I just don't think it shows up early. It does show up early, but every player you talk to and every coach you talk to thinks they have good team chemistry and good leadership, but a lot of them don't, and we'll see how this team develops over the next couple of months.
All right, we're halfway done here on the Monday Drive. Again, love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Or you can text us on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, 334-564-1840. We're back with hour number two.
Bama, this is the Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in. Hour number two of the Monday Drive. Hope everybody doing well and had a good weekend. If you weren't with us in hour number one, it's Bill, Dan, and even if you were with us in hour number one, it's Bill, Dan, and Brian Matthews here at the mics. Drew at the controls. We'd love for you to join in here in hour number two of the show. Second hour brought to you as usual by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And you can join in by calling the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Shout out to everybody over at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center.
All right, we have Brian Matthews, as I mentioned, from AuburnSports.com here in the studio, and we talked a little bit in hour number one. As we were winding things down, we were talking about, you know, the off season and the summer workouts, and Auburn has updated the roster, and they look healthy. What a difference, Brian, in a year ago and right now. I mean, the difference in from when Hugh Freeze took over, but the difference in going into last summer and going into this summer, you have you have quite a few less questions.
You do.
I mean, it's not like everything is answered and there are no questions at all, but I mean, the number of questions as compared to a year ago, it's amazing the difference.
Right. Wide receiver was a mess a year ago.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And they've replaced seven. We're hoping
some newcomers that hadn't gone through spring would be able to step in and be the answer.
You had a pretty good idea it was going to have a quarterback, but you weren't 100% sure.
Right.
Robbie Ashford was still competing for the job. Offensive line was wide open in so many areas. Defensive line, too, was a lot of question marks there with all the newcomers had to bring in to help out there and all the freshmen. Linebacker, really everybody but the secondary last year, which returned four or five starters, was – there's just a lot of question marks to those units, and you don't really have that this year. You know, there's a few position battles left, you know, here and there. You want to see.
What's the biggest position battle that's out there right now?
Nose guard and defensive tackle. You've got all those transfers competing for starting jobs.
Right.
I think they're going to rotate and play about the same anyway. You've got a pretty good Mike linebacker with Austin Keys and the transfer from Duke.
Dorian Mossy.
Yep, I think that's going to be a really good battle there. And then in the secondary, you got – that's probably the most competitive area because you really don't know who's going to be your starting safeties. You feel like Kyan Lee and Keontae Scott will probably be your starting corners unless they have to move Keontae back to nickel. And Champ Anthony's probably going to be your nickel, but safety is another position that's just, you know, you just don't know. I mean,
based on guys who played last year, you would think that Wooden would have a leg up on one of the two spots just because of the amount you saw him on the field. But there's also Terrence Love. There's also Bug Thompson coming in from Texas.
I think he's
one I'd have that be a starter, and I just don't know about the other one. We'll see. Sylvester Smith is a
Smith, Terrence Love, or the young guys.
Caleb Harris was a true freshman that played great in the spring. Laquan Robinson is a junior college transfer they brought in and was still going through the learning process in the spring, but you felt like he was catching on there at the end, and we'll see what he does over the summer.
I mean, if Charles Kelly wants to lean on veterans in that situation, you would think maybe Bug Thompson, Caleb Wooden, and or your new arrival.
Your new
arrival from Colorado as well.
If he doesn't play nickel, he's playing safety or both. So, yeah, there's C.J. Johnson's another red shirt to watch. So there's a big battle over there at safety, and I think they're – five or six guys that I could reasonably make a case for that could be a starter.
Would you think Kite would be one of your next men up in the corner situation?
Well, with Todd or Scott out now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Probably. I would think Spooty Kite would be.
Like J.C. Hart?
J.C. Hart, Spooty Kite. Maybe Champ Anthony would move outside if they feel good about their options at the nickel other than Champ in that situation if they had to replace Keontae or Kayan in a pinch.
I think Jay Crawford is a true freshman that had a really good spring and is a guy that could be a lot like Kyan Lee a year ago and be a key backup and play a lot of snaps there. And if there's an injury, maybe even step up and be a starter. We'll see. I don't know if it'll come to that for Jay, but I think he's playing as a true freshman.
They only have like five corners now.
Yeah, it's pretty thin there.
I mean, they could and the most experienced. I mean, Keontae's been a nickel, and Kyan's started a few games.
That's it.
And that's it.
Yep.
And then after that, I mean, it is young guys that, well, I mean, Kite has played a little coming in. But, I mean, you can see why Auburn could use somebody else at corner.
Yes. Crime Dog talked about the last time we got to talk to him during media availability in spring practice. He talked about how tough it is to, that first time you tell – a true freshman or a newly arrived JUCO player who hasn't seen much action, to get out there, especially in big moments. You're glad you did it later because we're not talking about Champ Anthony and Kayan Lee as guys who have never played college football before. And if things had been different last year, like they could have been they could have stayed on the bench the whole season.
But Kayan Lee last year had to start as a true freshman in the opener. Right.
Yeah. I mean, and Champ Anthony saw the field quite a bit the second half of the season, so I would think that the Auburn is better off for having done it, but it's got to be tough in the moment to say get out there, Jay Crawford would be an example, right? Like get out there and
he's gonna have to, he's definitely gonna have to. The one thing I will say about the secondary, it's got some of the best leaders I think on the team, Keontae Scott. Champ Anthony has become a real team leader, I think, or is becoming one, a guy you can count on, and I got some other guys over there too. But that is an area that, those players are going to push each other this summer, and they're going to work out really hard, and they're going to compete, and it'll show in the fall.
Auburn's got more numbers at safety than they do at corner. I mean, because you've got the preferred walk-on, the elder Fagans as well.
Yep, that's right. He's in there at safety. Was it Griffin Speaks that played a little bit last year? Doesn't have maybe the athleticism and stuff, but knows
the
defense.
Yeah, he's very, very smart and understands. And, again, that's another guy that could plug in at safety. I wonder, when I read Jaquez Robinson's bio, he apparently played some corner at 6'2", 205 last year at Colorado.
That's why I think he's more likely to play nickel to me, even with the size, even though Auburn listed him as safety just because – they have so much depth at safety.
Right.
Right now in the roster, they have 14 players listed as safety. That's a lot for two positions,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no kidding.
So some of those guys are going to play.
14, that's a lot 70. More than Auburn had offensive linemen a couple of years ago.
Yeah. So a lot of those guys, some of those guys are going to play nickel. And this hasn't happened yet, but Terrence Love is 6'2", 220.
He's big. He's like weak side linebacker.
And he's also really smart and really good football player. So if they want to find a way to get him on the field, that might be an answer to that Willie linebacker position.
Another guy that I'd heard that they like better in the box than in coverage is the JUCO safety transfer.
Oh, Laquan Robinson. Laquan, right? Yeah. I think that's true too.
I mean, so he might be a guy that plays some Willie linebacker.
So they're going to move things around.
What kind of number would they want in that linebacker room? Like ideally, like how many is a
eight?
Yeah. Is probably,
I mean, eight's plenty.
We're talking about basically two linebackers spots. Now, right? Yeah. Two spots.
No, so. You're talking safety or linebacker?
I was talking about the linebacker.
Oh, like linebacker. No, you probably want 10, 8 to 10.
Not counting because, edges.
Yeah.
If we're talking
two spots.
Just two spots. Yeah.
I would say 7 to 8 would be fine.
You want a three. You want, if you had six guys you could count on, then you might want a couple of guys that you're bringing along.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
And I think the buck linebacker or the edge, whatever you want to call it, Auburn calls it the buck now. I think you need at least 4 or 5, in my opinion.
Because I think Auburn likes their numbers there now with the addition of Cameron
Crawford.
But
if somebody goes down, you'd still love to. Yeah, 4 or 5. I think you're exactly right.
Because there are sometimes in these pass rush packages, you use two at a time, and you want that flexibility. And if you look at the way Auburn's recruiting right now, they're recruiting players at Will linebacker and Mike linebacker and – Buck and all these other positions that can rush the passer, that have a history of being really good at attacking the line of scrimmage. So you're going to see this defense, as DJ Durkin gets a hold of it more, become even more aggressive and have more players that can attack and make those plays behind the line of scrimmage.
334-321-1390. Love for you to join in. And we also tossed out in the first hour, if you have a memorable summer road trip, we'd love to hear about it. Not, it doesn't have to be you. I don't mean if you have one planned. I mean, if there's been a memorable summer road trip. Dan, you had a couple.
Different friend than the one who got his heart broken in hour number one. I had a buddy who was graduating from UF, and he had not seen much of the state. He was sort of lamenting that.
Much of the state of Florida?
Of Florida. He had not seen much of the state of Florida.
Where was he from?
Well, no, he was from Niceville, Destin, and he'd stayed in Gainesville for much of his day. He's a pretty serious academic guy. And so we thought, you know, let's it was Memorial Day weekend, and we thought, let's we'd all work part-time jobs and stuff. We were all college students, different places. So we thought, let's save up, let's go explore different parts of Florida. So we went down to Tampa, St. Pete for a day, went to a baseball game, went to the beach, went out that night, found some cheap place to stay, went down to Naples/Fort Myers for a day, you know, went exploring around. Nothing really, like we wanted to go to Rays and Marlins games and spend at least one night in Daytona Beach. But like outside of that, there wasn't really an agenda or like a tight schedule or anything. There's a lot of, you know, eating fast food dollar menu stuff to stretch money and
good old days, right?
Yeah, and dive bars and such. But it was cool to see. St. Pete Beach was a blast. You know, for a night. Naples was. I'm sure it's changed a lot in the decades since this story happened. But like Naples had a really cool sort of old downtown with cigar shops and cafes and restaurants and things that was like you don't hear much about Southwest Florida, Naples and Fort Myers and stuff, but like that was a really cool like contrast to other parts of the more high energy parts of the state. Miami was fun. Went to a Marlins game, saw Glavin as a Met against Josh Beckett as a Marlin. That was
as far as I'm concerned, that never happened.
That was a lot of fun. met Glavin's kid when he was here at Auburn and told him about that. Tom pitched pretty well that day as I recall Tommy. And then a night in Daytona that was just madness. Like Memorial Day, the Sunday night.
I bet.
The Sunday night of Memorial Day weekend, we roll into Daytona Beach and nobody sleeps in it, you know, a minute, and it's out. You're not gonna because too much noise. Like it was, I mean, it was just revelers everywhere. It felt like even being from Destin and seeing wild Panama City scenes, that was like as close to a spring break chaos from a movie or MTV as I'd ever seen was that weekend in Daytona.
I've been to Daytona once, and I barely remember what happened.
Yeah,
that's my spring break story.
Well, all right. I've got it's.
I'll tell you what I learned that weekend. But as you gather your stories, was we'd stopped in Ybor while we were in Tampa.
Oh yeah,
St. Pete, and we'd gotten some cigars. We were all of legal age for this, and of course. Nobody in the group, including me at the time, like had any idea what to do with cigars other than clipping them. And boy, did we get sick. Oh, boy,
oh man,
cap off an evening of questionable seafood, sugary
God.
Cocktails.
You're green quick. There's no question.
Yeah, we all look like Shrek.
All right, I've got one when we come back. Go way back again. One that nearly got a bunch of us arrested, but we didn't know until it was almost too late. All right, we will be back. Love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about, sports wise, road trip wise, as we continue here on the Monday Drive.
Inspired by the bold bison, Southern Union students blaze new trails.
AU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. All right, so I'll go back to this may surprise a few people. All right, so way back in the day, I was the lead singer of a little band down in South Alabama, and we played South Alabama, Northwest Florida, but we had an opportunity to go down to Tallahassee and play in a little club down there, and I mean it was fun. This was I guess around junior year in college or something like that. All right, so we go down and we play. We played it at Eglin a few times too.
Oh yeah.
But we went down this particular time. Went down and our bass player. I won't mention anybody's names. I know the. Plenty of time has passed, but I'm still not going to mention any of the band members' names, or I won't say their last names. Anyway, our bass player met up with a very attractive young girl, and so they were getting along just fine, and she hopped into our van and was riding back with us as we're coming back to South Alabama. All right. And as a matter of fact, I mean, it's like, I'm not extremely worried. I'm not, you know, nobody's concerned about anything. I'm just having a good time coming back. But as a matter of fact, I think all of us were still, I mean, all of us still living at home. You know, I mean, I may have been the oldest of the bunch at like 20. And everybody else is, you know, 18, 19, just finishing high school and things like that. So we come back and the bass player goes, well, she can't stay at my house because mom and dad are there.
Oops.
All right. So we had a little camper, a pull behind camper at the house. And I said, well, she can stay there, but she's got to go tomorrow. All right. So whatever. So we pull it because he only lived down the block from us. So we pull in and she's gonna get in the camper, and then I don't know how this came up, but somebody said, I don't even remember her name, but you know,
let's not use it. Let's
no
use,
no.
Yeah,
well,
let's,
I
let's
don't use I don't, I don't remember I don't remember her name either.
Yeah.
But somebody said, who's going to, you know, what about your parents or whatever, or so-and-so. And she goes, well, they're out of town and so-and-so. And it was like, oh, well, what school do you go to? And it was like, we're thinking, you know, you go to some junior college or what college or so-and-so. And she says, like, so-and-so junior high.
Oh, no.
And I'm, that's
oh,
like.
Oh, God. Y'all involved in kidnapping
we've just transported a minor across a state line.
Oh, Lord.
And it's like, I thought, oh, my God, we're all going to prison. And so, no, I mean, we immediately.
What band were you in, Bill? Leonard Skinner?
No.
What's going on?
No. Since I was driving, though. We had, it's like you're in the car and we're getting back across the line at least. We're going to none. We drove back down to Tallahassee and
Dropped her off in time for the homeroom.
I guess it was a Friday night. So I mean, I have
soccer practice.
Have no idea, but yeah. So that was a pretty harrowing experience.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. I was okay. So I guess a similar.
I guess the what is it called when the is expired the
statute of limitations. Statute
probably expired. You're probably safe.
Yeah, I sure hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, I was at a gathering.
Just because I didn't know wouldn't have mattered.
No. I guess I won't use anyone's name for this, Brian. But it was the first Big Cat weekend. Okay. And so I was at a party associated with the first Big Cat weekend.
Yes, there probably some running backs there.
And a friend of mine was chatting up a young lady. He was a junior or senior in college. I couldn't tell how old or young this girl was. I would have guessed she was a freshman.
Yeah.
in college probably. And you know, they at the end of the night, it's like, hey, you want to keep in touch? You know, what's your number, all that? She's like, yeah, my parents took my cell phone away. They were like, uh-oh, like red alert on the age thing. And then her friend comes up and is like, hey, we got to go. Like, mom's outside, like, ready to go. It's like, oh, you don't need her number. Like, let's go.
No.
I still think she, I mean, she's probably like, you know, a high school student who was, you know, in the situation.
Yeah,
we didn't ask.
I didn't ask if the young lady had repeated a few grades and was still in
junior.
It didn't matter.
Yeah, but I hope she's doing well.
Yeah. All right. 334-321-13. Our phones should be working. We checked them before the show. Jacob said he was having a problem with the phones during his show.
Who needs them? We're telling stories
Bill. I mean, he didn't, there's no telling. I got to be careful. I mean, I don't think I have any more that are along that line. I just,
no more from the band?
No, I got some other band.
Okay,
ones,
good. We may have to save those for. I like to, you know, pivoting to sports a little bit. I like Tennessee tonight too. I just think, you know, that's a team all season long that I've thought had a they had the edge seemingly over just about everybody else. Although if you'd asked me, you know, when the College World Series started, like who were the two best teams?
Tennessee and A&M,
based largely on and Kentucky would have been in that case too. Yeah. And they made it.
They were the top three seeds.
They made it pretty deep into the College World Series themselves.
And A&M is doing it without maybe one of their best players, or certainly the player they went out and got that everybody thought was maybe the best player in the portal last year. So.
Tonight's going to be a wild season.
Schlossnagel knows what he's doing.
Yes, he does.
All right, 334-321-1390. We're going to find out if the phones are working. Go ahead. You're on the drive. Who we have? Hello?
Hey, it's Uncle Ollie.
Hey, Uncle Ollie.
Hello, Unc.
How are y'all?
All right.
Yeah, hey, listen, Bill, I can't top that one.
I'm glad.
I've never heard that story.
I'm glad I don't know that would be on the air.
I did not know that story either, Uncle Ollie.
Well, I mean, that's not one you just.
This may be the first time he's ever told it.
Why would you talk that? I mean, really, why would you tell that?
I need to hang up because there's no way I can top what Bill just described. But
it was all innocent on my part. I swear to God,
I understand.
It was the bass player.
I know, but that's like movie stuff, man.
Yeah, I know. You're that's absolutely like, right.
Oh, man. I had a couple of them, but one of them I can't tell. The other one I can. When I was in Auburn many, many, many years ago, I was a member of a fraternity that I will. The only thing I'll say is we had the a very prominent rodeo in town,
right?
And so, anyway, so when I was a senior, we had a teacher that we were actually it was final exams a week, and we had a teacher.
Oh no!
And it was his birthday.
Oh, okay. All right.
So we all ask him, hey, we want to celebrate your birthday, man. Let's go to Columbus tonight. And so he agreed. And so we all went to Columbus, and we spent several hours in Columbus. And he enjoyed the night a lot, so much that on the way back, he told us the answers to his final exam that we were going to have the following day.
Truth serum.
What a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had such a good time. He said, hey, because we were like, hey, we got to get back, man. We got to take your test tomorrow. And he was like, hey, man, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And we were like, no, we got to take your test tomorrow. He goes, all right, let me just tell you. Here, number one is blah, blah, blah. Number two is blah, blah, blah.
Now, how many of those could you remember the next day?
Oh, we all aced it.
Well, that's good.
Every one of us aced it. And but that was quite a road trip. When you take your teacher to Columbus to one of those joints over there, and they don't have them like they used to, you know.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And he had a really good time, such a good time that on 280 coming back to Auburn, he gave us the answers to his test that we were going to take in just a few hours.
Yeah, my first story, we were probably going to one of the establishments you were talking about.
Great stuff, Uncle Ollie. Appreciate it. Really, really, really good stuff from the Unc.
Appreciate the call. Yeah, that is great. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Back with the final half hour here on the Monday Drive.
EU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. That will be a topic for the last show ever. Bill, Dan, and Brian Matthews. Drew's at the controls. Again, we'd love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Or you can text us on the drive text box, which is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
334-564-1840, the drive text box. And they also sponsor the podcast, Southeastern Industrial Contractors, available however you listen to podcasts.
One of the things, we haven't really mentioned any basketball at all, Brian, basketball workouts going on. The additions here, I mean, just the excitement around Auburn basketball for this coming year, the trip up to Duke. I mean, there's just no reason not to really be excited about this. The additions to the roster, J.P. Pegues gives them an experienced point guard. I think that by the time Auburn added Miles Kelly, I mean, you're just adding more talent to proven players. Yeah. That Auburn has more proven returning players than anybody in the SEC.
And Miles can shoot from just about anywhere on the floor. You're going to see that, you know, later this year. J.P. Pegues, once he gets his feet under him, you know, he's going to be the guy running the show on offense, mm-hmm. which is what Auburn desperately needed, I felt like, going into this year, is somebody that could be a leader and take control and run things from the point guard position, and I think he can absolutely do that. So there are a lot of reasons to be excited about it. We're not allowed to report anything that happens in the practices.
But you can talk about the kind of players that you've seen that Auburn has in there. I mean, you've got additions in the front court and the back court with Tahad Pettiford coming in. He's going to play some point. There's no question about that. It is a deep, talented roster.
It really is. And I'm excited to get to see these guys and get that season going, I guess, in November or when it gets started. It's going to be a fun, fun basketball season. This could be one of Pearl's best ever rosters.
Yeah, and, I think so.
It's not just the returning players or the transfer guys. I'm also very excited about Pettiford, and then Ja'Kai Howard, I think, is going to be a fun, fun player to watch. He's a guy that can get up and down the floor.
If you've ever watched any of his highlights, yeah. I mean, he can jump.
Great leaping ability.
Crazy, yes. Jump out of the gym.
He's going to have some dunks that get Auburn Arena fired up, right? I mean, he's one of those type of players.
So. I am sort of suspicious of how much, and it could be a lot. I mean, we'll find out. I do wonder how much we'll see of the kids, just because it's such a veteran laden team.
Yeah, we'll see.
You know, but I think it's you know, it's going to be something for Bruce to consider, and I imagine over the next couple of weeks we'll also learn more about the out of conference schedule and some of Auburn's other opponents as they you know, probably get a full schedule here before you know what August is over.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little surprised we haven't had. I mean, there was like rumblings that we'd know of another one of the non-conference matchups last week.
Yep, but this opportunity to play in Cameron Indoor, I think, is incredible. You know, anybody that gets to go to that game or cover it, I'm sure will be real excited about it. Playing in the preseason tournament over in Honolulu, is that where it's played? Hawaii? That'll be terrific experience. I mean, this team is going to play a really tough non-conference schedule, which will be important for it as it moves into January and February in SEC play.
334-321-1390. Let's get back to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Go ahead. You're on the Drive.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
It's very ironic you were talking about Jay Crawford. Well, this is
no Crawdaddy.
This is the Crawdaddy.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Craw.
I tell you, Bill, you hit a big-time fat nerve when you're talking about summer vacations. This was June of 1960. I was 8 and a half, and the family had a New England trip planned for like 12 days, and so we were going to get to go to Yankee Stadium.
Oh, okay.
And so nothing eventful the first 2 days, and rolling into New York, we got there at night.
Crawford, how many of y'all were in the vehicle?
It was just four. It was my older brother and mom and daddy.
Okay.
And daddy was driving. My brother was not old enough to drive. Well, he was, but he didn't drive at that time. So we get in New York City at night, and my God rest his soul, daddy runs over a raised manhole cover.
Oh, wow.
And instead of spending 3 days in New York, we spent 14.
Jeez.
But the good side of it was we were going to a Yankees game, and I'm like you, Bill, big Mickey Mantle fan.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first game we went to was they won. They played in the Washington Senators, and the second game was a doubleheader. And remember the short porch, was it 296?
296, yep, indeed.
Yeah, 296, and Washington's pitcher, I'm not sure his name, Pascal, whatever, hit a grand slam.
Camilo Pascal, right. I bet.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hit a grand slam to right, and the Yankees lost the first game. And
so yeah, he was a very good hitting pitcher. You're right.
Yeah, he was. And,
look, I'm it's not like I'm older than Crawford. I just remember all this from my baseball cards.
Well, no.
No, seriously.
As you know. So the second game.
You knew how old he was.
Yeah. This was I want to say maybe the sixth or seventh inning, and the Yankees were losing. And Mickey Mantle hit into a double play and did not run it out.
Mm-mm.
And Casey took him out of the game.
Whoa.
And, yeah, and I was very distraught and didn't go to another game. I saw him watch a game or win a game on TV. But, yeah, so 2 weeks in New York, and we're supposed to be three. So we didn't quite make a New England trip that year. So, yeah. So that was definitely the summer of hell because I wasn't eight and a half, so whatever.
It took that long to get the car fixed?
2 weeks.
Wow.
2 weeks, yeah. And we were staying in a hotel that did not have air conditioning.
Oh, so, man.
It was not a pleasant trip. So
yeah, New York in the summertime is just blistering.
Pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Pretty brutal. All right, guys. I've stayed on. The phones were not working. I was on for 14 minutes before the top of the hour and 12 after, but at least they're working now.
So oh, wow.
Thank you all for taking
yeah,
the call.
Hey, well, I appreciate it, Crawford. Yep. Again, we appreciate everybody's patience and, you know, still trying to get some of the kinks worked out. Things hopefully the thing is we don't have the kind of notification. Yes,
I'll tell you what we don't have. No, it's not,
no, no, no,
it's,
no.
It's,
I mean, no, the thing is we used to all be able to see lights would light up when a phone call came in. Now if you don't catch, I mean, it's like blinks maybe a couple of times and that's it, and then it's connected. You know what we just made, you know, every once in a while just pot it up and go, hey, is anybody there?
Is anybody there?
Hey, yeah. Anybody out there? Okay.
Give me the new name of the show. Yeah. Right, but it's really great.
Welcome back, kid. Is anybody there?
Great stuff from Crawford.
I love it. I think that's a good. That's a really good idea. The third hour. Yeah. Hey, it's the extra hour. Is anybody there?
All right. We'll work that one up to Steve.
And that'll be followed by, "Are we still here?"
A resounding no will be the fourth hour.
Oh, God. 334-321-1390. I appreciate that. That's great stuff, though.
Brian, you're enthusiastic about, just to try to wrap the segment up with some sports. Brian, you're enthusiastic about what baseball has been able to do since the season ended, as far as bringing talent in and the work they've done to try to fill out this roster.
I am. I think they've met their needs. They brought in seven portal transfers so far. Three of those guys are pitchers. A couple of those, Mason Koch and Ryan Hetzler, are guys that were really effective relievers. And I think both those guys are going to get a chance to start. And, you know, if not, Koch is a guy I don't have in front of me, but I think it was 60 strikeouts in
38
in a 38 third innings. Yeah. So he can bring it. And then Samuel Dutton, an LSU transfer, is a guy who has great stuff and just hasn't had a whole lot of opportunities or a whole lot of innings at LSU yet. So maybe a change of venue will help him, and maybe he can find something that'll help him out.
And he's back in his home state now, along with his brother.
Yep, exactly.
From Birmingham Southern.
Andrew Dutton, the transfer from Birmingham Southern, is a lefty, a guy who can play middle infield or the outfield. Bristol Carter, I think, is going to be Auburn's starting center fielder and possibly leadoff man. Transfer from East Carolina, hits for average. I think he's going to come into his power and can really run and do some different things on the bases. Eric Snow from South Florida was a freshman All-American, dealt with injuries last year, but as a guy that come in and possibly play shortstop. And then Lucas Steele is a really powerful hitter who's a switch hitter from Samford. He can play outfield, he can play catcher, he can play first base. So he's a utility guy that can do just about anything. So they've definitely helped themselves going in next year, plus a top five class coming in later this summer. Plus some good guys coming back, still waiting on Cooper Murray and his decision. But overall, I think there's reasons to be excited about next year in baseball.
They're still looking for a left-handed pitcher, right?
Love to find a left-handed starter, a more established guy who you can say, this guy's going to come in and be one of our weakest guys.
Because who's Auburn got as a lefty that could fill in? I mean, with Tanner Bauman gone and Crotchfeldt entering the portal, I mean, I think they really, really could use – southpaw.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody right now that's a potential starter as a left. They've got Carson Myers is a.
Has he got another year?
Yeah, I think he's back.
Okay, because so I mean Auburn's bringing in a couple of lefties, but that'll be freshmen.
Yes.
So you'd like to have somebody with a little experience that they could bring in as a left-hander. All right, we will get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join in 334-321-1390 here on the Monday Drive.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the Monday Drive. And I believe we have a call. Let's get to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Hi, who are we talking to?
This is a stranger named Tex.
Hello, Tex. Hey, Tex.
Or as some people say, just strange. Don't ask me what made me think of it other than the guy at the local place up here at the lake asked me. He goes, "I saw your license plate. Are you the Tex from Louisiana?" And I said, "Yes."
That's good to know. Hey, that's great. That means he's a listener. Yeah.
He is listening. So... anyway, good to hear y'all. I agree completely with Brian's review of the portal. And everybody's looking for left-handed pitching.
Oh, yeah.
So
at every level.
If we got left-handed, yeah. So if our left-handers are pitched like the kid from Texas A&M, we'll be fine. But I did talk to a baseball guy of mine who asked to remain, actually demanded to remain anonymous, who said that, and I know Dan had mentioned that Butch may be on the hot seat. He said, if you get rid of that guy, you might as well shut your program down. And that's a guy that's in the big leagues right now. So I kind of like that vote of confidence for Butch. Yeah. But anyway, so I also got a really good compliment from a guy. We were playing in a pickleball tournament in Opelika this past weekend. By the way, if you don't go out there and play and you haven't seen the new splash pad and the pool and everything else, the people in Opelika have it going on when it comes to recreation. I'll just tell you that. He played baseball at Jacksonville State, and he said, I rode down by the baseball stadium. Oh, my God. So is there been such progress since the end of the season?
Oh, yeah.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah. You can see
all the framework of the second story or whatever, that structure down the first baseline. Yeah.
Looks like it's up or almost all up. It's very impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is the remodel behind home plate going to look like? And are they moving radio down? We were told they were keeping radio and TV there, but somebody asked me the other day, are they really moving radio down the first baseline?
I don't think so, Andy. No, I don't think so. Radio and TV is supposed to be sitting behind home plate along with suites.
Press boxes are going down the first baseline.
The rest of the media is moving down the first baseline. That's fine.
We'll have a closet and watch it on a TV or something.
We'll have a much better angle than we do in football. I know, no matter where we are. Yeah,
that's good. Hey, Brian, they sell season tickets every year.
Yes, I know.
So you know.
I know.
If you want to pay for them, there's some behind home plate.
Oh, there's some nice seats behind home plate. Yes. I could sit there with my laptop every game.
Tex is there.
Yep.
I do. So every game that I can make and tell. And by the way, have we just, Bill, you and I have known each other a long, long time. When's the last time there was so much acceleration in our recruiting in the second class?
You mean for football, right?
Really? For football, yeah.
Pat Dye. I don't know. I mean, there was pretty good bit after 2009. 2010 class with Trooper and Looper and Gene's.
Those guys deserve credit. They recruited really well. Yeah.
So I'd say probably 15 years.
Yep.
At least.
Yes. Well, every time I pick up my phone, I see another name popping up. So it's amazing to me the work those guys are putting in.
No question about it.
It's going to be a really fun Big Cat. Really is exciting.
I imagine so. I know you're getting up toward the end. Hey, glad to hear y'all. Sorry I hadn't been listening, but there's been other things I've been doing that are kind of fun.
So. I thought you were going to call in and give us your favorite summer road trip, Tex.
Oh, my favorite summer road trip? Well, it was last Tuesday. No, when we were actually. A former teammate of mine. Remember Phil Constance?
Yeah.
Okay. So I ran it. Well, he plays pickleball too. So I run into him every time I come to Opelika. Anyway, we were talking about a Connie Mack tournament in Hateful, Atlanta that our team won. We had to go from there to Lexington, Kentucky for the regionals. Then we won that tournament and immediately went to Albuquerque, New Mexico for the World Series.
Whoa.
And as an 18-year-old, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
To play. And we played in some nice ballparks back then. So that's probably I've never gone. I hate to admit this. I've never been to the College World Series or the Little League World Series. I've got a bad taste in my mouth about the Little League World Series because we lost 2-1 in Jacksonville for the right to go when I was 12 years old.
Oh.
So I would rather do – for me, that would be my two favorite that I want to do. But playing that run that summer of 1978 was really cool.
Yeah, that sounds like it. That's good. I'm glad I asked you there.
Yes. All right, guys. Take care.
All right, you too, Tex. Winding things down here on the Monday edition of The Drive. Brian, you know, let's talk a little bit about all the things that, I mean, we know, I mean, there's not much more competition tonight. Texas A&M Tennessee baseball game. That's going to be it as far as on-field competition, but there's still a lot that will be going on even during the dead period. There's going to be recruiting, there'll be news, and of course, AuburnSports.com is where you want to go check it all out.
There will be. This week, Caleb will be down in Jacksonville for the Rivals 100 as the top 100 players mm-hmm. or most of the top 100 all get together and compete and get to be out there and evaluate and talk to them. I'll be down there a little bit later, too, for our publishers conference. And we'll have plenty of coverage. You know, it is a dead period, but kids that went on those official visits in May, June are going to be making decisions. So mm-hmm. we'll be covering that. And I expect Auburn to pick up a couple more commitments here in the next couple of weeks. We'll see. And then everything building up to July 27th and Big Cat, which is going to be a big, big day for Auburn recruiting.
And, of course, SEC Media Day is coming up about you know, a week and a half before that.
Yep, yep. So it'll be here before we know it, and we'll be back in the preseason practice and all that good stuff.
That's great. Brian, thanks again. We always appreciate you being here. Have a great week.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Dan and I back tomorrow. I am out after tomorrow for the rest of the week. But we'll be back tomorrow. Andy is—he's gone. He is on vacation. So we're here. We should get Jake.
We should have Jake.
We should have Jake tomorrow. And we hope to hear from you as well. But that's going to do it for the Monday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.